Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's plenty of deafness in the world today. And it's a far worse kind of deafness than physical deafness. Sometimes it seems like the whole world has gone deaf to the truth. No one, it seems, will listen to reason. No one wants to hear the facts about anything. It's all about a person's inner emotions and feelings and personal beliefs. Even worse, people, even Christians, don't seem to want to hear the gospel. How many Christians chose to stay home this morning or found better things to do than to hear God's word? And of those who have come to church, to this or any church, how many listen gladly and willingly? And as for speech, we could complain about our society's growing suppression of Christian speech, but the real problem is that more and more Christians are unwilling to speak the truth of Christ, whether for fear of persecution or for lack of conviction. It's like they have a speech impediment. In our gospel, we encounter a man who suffered from physical deafness and physical an impediment on his tongue. The one who healed him is the same one who sends his Spirit today to heal ears and tongues. Many people in the world will remain unhealed because people harden their hearts and their ears to the gospel. Don't be among them. As Jesus often cried out at the end of his sermons, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, by his Spirit's work through his word, Jesus will give you ears to hear. Don't close them in boredom or in self-absorption or in unbelief. But listen to the healing gospel of Christ and apply it to yourself. There's nothing hard to understand today in Mark's account of Jesus healing that man who was deaf and mute. The reputation of Jesus had already gone out in Israel by this time that this man preaches the kingdom of God, preaches sin and repentance and the forgiveness of sins, that this man teaches the scripture like no one else with authority, and that this Jesus can heal physical maladies as well as spiritual, that he is kind and merciful, that he accepts no bribe, he shows no favoritism. He helps all who come to him for help, and he demands no payment, nothing in return. That's the word that had gone out. It had gone out even beyond the borders of Israel to the northern regions of Tyre and Sidon, and it tells us in the gospel that he had just returned from there, and word had gone out that he was even kind and merciful to some of the Gentiles in that region. He healed a Canaanite woman's daughter of demon possession. Well, now he's here, back in Galilee. And that report, that word about Jesus had gone out and created faith in many who heard it. As Paul says, faith comes by hearing. But what about those who haven't heard? What about those who don't have ears to hear in the first place? As Paul writes to the Romans, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? The deaf man hadn't heard anything ever, but his friends had heard. They heard the report about Jesus and they believed. They also had tongues that could spread the word about Jesus, tongues to confess faith in Christ and love, to lead others to seek help from him. But even their tongues were useless when it came to their deaf friend. So in this case, they confessed Jesus with their feet and with their arms as they escorted their friend to where Jesus was and brought him to Jesus to have Jesus help him. And the one thing that stands out in the healing miracle that Jesus performed here is the extended process that Jesus used to heal this man. That means something, because sometimes Jesus just healed people by saying a word, like he did with the 10 lepers and their leprosy. Sometimes he healed people without even having the person nearby, as he did with the centurion's servant. So there's a reason why the Holy Spirit recorded this and why Jesus went through that process of healing the deaf man, and that reason isn't hard to figure out. The deaf man's friends demonstrated their faith in Jesus based on the word they had heard about him, but their faith couldn't help this deaf man to be saved. Faith has to belong to the person who is to be saved. I can't believe for you so that you're saved by my faith, nor can you believe for me. You have to have faith for you to be saved. Their friend had to have faith in Jesus, not just to be saved eternally, but here for this healing miracle. And so Jesus preached the gospel to him in the only way that was yet available to him, not through his ears, but through his eyes and through his other senses. So first Jesus took the deaf man aside from the multitude and showed him Jesus cares about this one individually. Jesus has compassion not just on great groups of people, but on each one. There has to be individual contact with Jesus. That's why in holy baptism, we don't perform mass baptisms where a whole bunch of people who want to be baptized get a bucket of water thrown over them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptism is always done one-on-one as Jesus, through a pastor, takes a child or an adult aside individually and baptizes him or her. That's what Jesus does, takes a person aside from the multitude and deals with each one individually. Then Jesus put his fingers in the ears of the deaf man. Now, only doctors do things like that, or parents. It shows a very personal concern. And it shows that only the fingers of this man, of this Jesus, can open deaf ears. There's a spiritual meaning in that too. In the Bible, the finger of God is the Holy Spirit. He's referred to by that title, the finger of God, on more than one occasion. And it's another way of illustrating for us that the only way to open spiritually deaf ears, ears that can't hear the gospel and believe it, is for Jesus to send His Holy Spirit into our ears through His Word. Again, faith comes by hearing. Then Jesus spat and touched the tongue of the man with the speech impediment, because not only did his ears not work, but also his tongue was tied. Again, a very personal way to heal. It reminds us just how close Jesus has come to us poor sinners. The Son of God gave Himself human saliva and flesh and blood for the very purpose of pouring out His blood, literally, and having His flesh destroyed on the cross as payment for our sins. This act of spitting and touching the man's tongue is a picture of the Word of God going out from the mouth of Jesus through His called and ordained servants. It goes into the ears, of course, but then it goes into the heart and takes root and makes its way out onto the tongue, so that again, as Paul writes to the Romans, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and sighed. This healing miracle, Jesus shows, is not a medical procedure. Jesus isn't using some unknown form of Western medicine or Eastern medicine in this healing. Healing comes from above, from God, the God who sent His Son into the world to rescue poor sinners from the consequences of their own sins, including the inborn sin the original sin and spiritual disease with which we are all infected and born. A sigh from God as he looks down at the mess we've made of everything down here. A sigh from God as he looks down at our disease and our death and our deafness and our muteness, as he looks down at broken families and the physical and psychological illnesses that plague our race, a sigh. You did this to yourselves. But then what? What does God do? He sighs and doesn't turn his back. He sighs and doesn't throw up his hands and give up on us or finish us off with wrath and condemnation. No, he sends his Son into our flesh who speaks a word of salvation. Ephphatha, be opened. And the deaf man can hear, and the mute man can speak. It's what Jesus does for all of us spiritually. He sends his Spirit into our ears, into our hearts, promising salvation, promising the forgiveness of sins. He works faith there through his word in those who don't stubbornly resist him. Then he speaks the word of forgiveness, the loosing of sins, the absolution. And then our tongues are loosed to sing his praises and to give thanks to God for his mercy and help through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now you all, I think, have working ears for the most part and working tongues, at least enough to hear a sermon and speak the confession of sins and the creed. More importantly, God has opened your spiritual ears to believe the word that you have heard about the kingdom of Christ and his mercy. And he's given you tongues to confess Christ, not with empty words of the tongue only, but from the heart. You weren't born with open ears or with a loosed tongue. God did that for you through his gospel. In fact, God has to continually hold your ears open through his gospel continually preached, because your ears are like self-closing doors that will close themselves shut after they've been opened unless they're held open. You see a little example of that closing of the ears right at the end of our gospel. Jesus told the people not to tell anyone what they had seen there that day. He had his reasons for that. His instructions were clear to the people, and the people heard his instructions with their own ears, and they understood. But then their sinful flesh took over and stopped up their ears again, so that they stopped listening to Jesus. Instead of doing what he said, they went out and did the opposite. They told everyone they could what he had done. Now you may say they had good intentions for doing that. You may say it didn't hurt Jesus in the end. It spread his popularity and his report. But intentions are not really good if they ignore the word of Jesus. No, the people that day saw a great miracle with their eyes, heard Jesus' healing gospel with their ears, but then hardened their hearts to Jesus' word and gave way to their own flesh, to what they thought would be the right thing to do, instead of doing what Jesus said to do. And so they ended up misusing both their ears and their tongues. Take a warning from that. Jesus has not opened your ears so that you can turn around and shut them again to his word. He has not given you a tongue to confess him before men so that you can then turn around and use your tongue in ways that he has forbidden. No, use your God-given ears for the purpose for which God gave them to you, to hear his word and to believe it. To hear his word and then to put it into practice, and then use your tongues for their God-given purpose too, to speak and to sing the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.